God's grace surpasses our finite understanding. Nevertheless, we don't have to guess about what it is or God's purposes for demonstrating it. Let's listen to Pastor Jerry Seawright's message on today, entitled, Grace Beyond Our Narrow Limits.
It reminds us of the children of Israel. 2 years after leaving Egypt, they disobeyed and showed a lack of faith. And then for the next 38 years, they traveled around and wandered around in a desert land, just hoping and praying that it was over. Just like this man, 38 years, hoping and praying for a miracle. By this time, if you even know anything about your body, if you don't use it, you will lose it, right? And atrophy kicked in. And this is a situation where the body kind of like just dies. Cells die and deteriorate, and tissues die and deteriorate, and muscles die due to underuse. So this brother was in a bad situation. A bad situation, a hopeless situation, a depressing situation, a demoralizing situation. This was a really bad set of circumstances that this brother was in. And then Jesus comes along in verse 6, and he asks a question to this man that was in this hopeless, depressing, demoralizing situation. And the question kind of seems off the wall at first, because Jesus comes up to him and says, "Do you wish to get well?" Hold up. I'm in this messed up, depressed, demoralizing situation, and you're asking me, do I wish to, right? That's what you would think. But see, before that question was revealed to us, John also revealed something else. John said that Jesus knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. Jesus was well acquainted with what this man was going through. He knew his plight. He knew his situation through and through. And matter of fact, he created that man. Think about that. Now, I know somebody, if you just dwell on that for a moment, you can identify with this situation. Sometimes you are so trapped in your mind that you think that you are all alone. Nobody is with me. I am all by myself in this thing, it feels. And I know that I'm just by myself. But Jesus knows your situation, and he knows exactly what you are going through. And although you have set these limits in your mind, his grace goes beyond your narrow limits. Amen. Grace going beyond your narrow limits. Grace going beyond the narrow limits of this brother who was an invalid, and grace is going beyond our narrow limits even today. In the 7th verse, it reads that the sick man answered Jesus. And this is how he answered Jesus. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Talk about narrow limits. This man was shook by his situation to where all he wanted to do is get to the water. where traditionally it was stated that an angel stirred up the water and then poof, you became whole, or you were healed, or you were revived. But reading deeper, truthfully, what happened is that this spring, or this pool was fed by a spring that was underneath, and it at times it bubbled up. And most researchers state that it had a red tint to it. So it was because it was full of minerals and things of that nature. So it was a ancient spa, if you will. And they were just going to the spa. And all of a sudden, when that spa bubbled up a little bit, they was like, oh, I got to get in there real quick because I want to get healed. It's amazing what we look to for the answer when we are desperate for an answer. We'll look everywhere but up sometimes because of our narrow limits that we set. And Jesus said to him in the 8th and 9th chapter, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Right through a sentence, just through a little sentence, in a few words, Jesus delivered the power and the will for this man to get up. Now, did this man activate this power by magical words? No. Did he activate this by some really rich saying that he said that made him sound really spiritual? No. Matter of fact, some folks said that this brother may not even have believed. But Jesus did this for him. Because that brings up the fact that Jesus chose him out of all of the sick people that were there. Jesus said, I come this day to heal this one. It was nothing that this man did that identified him outside of the others, that made him just like more worthy than the others that were sick and laying there. He was sick and laying there, and by God's grace, he was chosen at that time. By God's grace, that unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Some of us go throughout our lives nowadays as if we earned grace, as if we deserve grace, as if we have like a bank account because we've been so good. We got a bank account of grace that we can pull on all the time. Listen, grace ain't grace if it can be earned. Grace ain't grace if it can be earned. It is his unmerited favor. Amen. And it's nothing about you that he has said, you know what? I'm gonna give this one more grace, or because he is so fine. Because he's so fine, I'm gonna give him more grace. No. Because he's so rich, I'm going to give him more. No. It's unmerited, undeserved, unearned. It's because God says, you know, I'm going to will to love this person. Even though they are unlovable, I am going to love them. And I'm going to give them some grace. Do you know some unlovable people today? Then you show them some grace. Amen. Nothing that you can do that can earn this thing. But God's grace goes beyond our narrow limits, went beyond the narrow limits of this man who may not even have known him as Savior. But you know what? God's grace can also go beyond the narrow limits of those who know better, too. Those who are religious. Amen. Because in the 10th verse, it says that the religious people came. And the religious people had to say this. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." They weren't worried about the fact that this brother was standing up at this time, that a miracle had occurred, that he was walking with his pallet while they were talking to him, saying you shouldn't be carrying your pallet. One writer said, some folks are so worried about rules instead of deliverance. Rules instead of deliverance. And they were criticizing him about carrying his pallet. You know, I looked at it this way. That pallet was his testimony. And somebody was criticizing him about his testimony. And that's just like today, where we'll be carrying around something and they say, "I knew her when. I knew him when. I knew her when she was. And I knew him when he." And you're carrying that around, and it's a testimony. And somebody's criticizing your testimony. But when you have had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, that pallet that you're carrying around is a testimony that you have should not have any shame about, because you've been delivered. And it ain't about their limited, narrow, limited thinking. Amen. Being concerned more about rules than deliverance. God's grace. Just want to leave you with 2 points. God's grace had to fight through some stuff. It has to fight through some stuff sometimes. Just to give you some grace, sometimes that grace has got to fight through some stuff. In other words, sometimes grace has to fight through the pollution of your solutions. It does. It has to fight through the pollution of your solutions. You got this thing made out. You got it laid out. You know how he should deliver you. You know how he should deliver you. So what should happen is this amount of this should come at this time. If it doesn't, then, oh, my goodness, he didn't come through. You know, this amount of money should come through at this time. Or this person should come through at this time. And then, boom, it'll be all worked out and it'll be all settled. Because I'm just right now I'm exercising in my narrow limit, and it should work out this way. And then all of a sudden, when it doesn't work out as planned, your narrow limits, then all of a sudden it's panic time. God's grace has to fight through those solutions that you have made up for yourself, and then he has to show you that, hey, I am here. I know your situation, and I know exactly not only where you are, but I know whose you are when you don't, because you're mine. And if you are like that unbelieving, possibly unbelieving invalid man that's set forth in Scripture today, then you need to know this. God's grace fights through your stuff. It has to fight through your stuff as well. And God gives you some grace, even though you don't believe in him. And even though you don't serve him, you are still getting his grace. Amen. You're still getting his grace. James 1, and 16 through 17 says this: Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And then when you go to Matthew, the fifth chapter, in the 45th verse says this: So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Even though you are out of the ark of safety, you are here living by grace and mercy. By grace and mercy, you are seeing another day. God is being good to you at this very moment when you are yet his enemy. When you are not serving him, when you don't have his best interest at heart, he has yours. And he's still trying to give you time to say, come. Come. Come before it is too late. Come before it is too late. While you still have time, come. Come. And that's what he's telling you each day he gives you. He's trying to tell you to come. Time is of the essence. Come. Come. But then he also has to fight through, as I stated, those who know better or ought to know better, when their faith is shaken by situations and circumstances beyond their thinking and their thought and their reasoning. And God has to calm us down as well, because we have come up with solutions, and we have looked to others for solutions as well when we are in our moments of trials and tribulations. And then all of a sudden, Paul has to remind us in Corinthians, the second Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, when he said, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. God has this thing designed where he's not allowing you to rely on you. You've never been your own answer, and you never will be your own answer. God has it where he will not share his glory with no one. All glory will belong to him, and him alone. So while you are out there trying to work out your salvation, that's what you're thinking when you are actually calling yourself trying to work out your situation. God has you covered, saints. He has you covered. And that's why he was telling you also in his word, don't worry. Don't worry. If I can take care of the sparrows, and just like one preacher said, they're waking up every morning singing. They're waking up every morning singing. If I could take care of them, then you also should wake up every morning singing. Amen. Most people roll out of their bed saying, oh. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Right? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Last point I want to leave with you is one that just I read and it sunk and penetrated into my spirit, and I hope it penetrates to yours as well. But this is what Zuck said when he explained a portion of this scripture today. He said, in the spiritual realm, man's great problem is that either he does not recognize he is sick, or he does not want to be cured. Do you hear that? In the spiritual realm, man's great problem is that either he does not recognize he is sick, or he does not want to be cured. Wow. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? I think I'm on the side of I recognize I am sick. Matter of fact, if you are part of God's true church, here's the requirement. You must recognize that you are sick. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm sick. I'm sick. And I need a cure. Because I'm sick. See, I have this thing that is in me that is called sin. And I was born with it. I was born with it, and it makes me think wrong. And it makes me do wrong things. And I was sick, and here's the thing. My will was even wrapped up in it, because my will was influenced by it, because when I wanted to do right, I did wrong. Excuse me. When I even want to do right, I did wrong. But God. But God. He made me see that it was a cure. And Jesus is my portion. And I took Jesus in, and now all of a sudden I feel better.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.